All right, Doug is going to be bringing the word this morning, so let's pray with him. Father, we thank you for Doug and for his love for you and his love for your word. We pray as he brings the word today, Holy Spirit, won't you anoint him and just touch his mouth and his heart that he may speak words that come from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all and to be with you this morning. I just wanted to start off by just suggesting that if you guys weren't here last week, we really had a very special time. We had a guest speaker, Ray Oliver, and he's from One Life down in Maritzburg, and he was talking about the church that God died for. And it was really just it was so amazing having someone from the apostolic team coming here and sharing with us. And I really believe it's an important part to listen to what others also come and say to Crossways. So if you weren't here, I really would encourage you just to listen to that. It is available online, so won't you do that in the coming week. It is also time for Henry to join our eldership team. So we're very pleased that Henry is now formally part of us as well. So just in case you missed that. All right. So really what, Henry and Harvey said, we're talking about this Meeting May thing. And we've been advertising it for a while, right? So you know it's coming. But really what it is it's part of a broader idea that we want to be formed into people that really follow Jesus as his apprentices. So we learn to spend time with Jesus, we become like him, and ideally in the long term, then we do the things that he did. That's part of that process. And we really believe that these practices can help us to live that out. Okay, so community is the practice we're going to be leaning into for this month ahead. And I know there's some of you here that when you hear community, you're like, that's my thing. Right? You live it, you breathe it, you love having people around, you're well connected. But there are other people here that are disconnected. There's some of you here that are isolated, and you've got maybe one or two people you know. You don't know people in this church. And then there's some people here as well who are actually like, that's the last thing I think I want. I want, you know, the fewer people that get to know me, actually the better. I like being by myself. So I think we recognize that there are some of you that are in different places, but I really want to encourage each of you just for this 4 weeks, really press into this idea of community together and see what it means. I really believe it's fundamentally important that as a church, we are meant to be community. We're not meant to be people that are isolated and walking independently. We're actually meant to love one another and live life together in a much fuller way than I think we gets expressed in society today. Okay. And then just what we've decided to do as eldership is as we move forward in this month of doing community in homes, we're just going to be also preaching on Sundays and just giving a bit more of a fuller perspective on the theology of community as we see it in the Bible. So this week I'm going to start off speaking about the Old Testament and what we glean from the Old Testament about how God designed community. And then next week we'll go into Jesus' teachings. What did he have to say about community? And then we'll be looking at the early church. So that's kind of up ahead. Also just to say that on the 23rd, that's 3 weeks' time, 24th, we'll be having a combined service. Some of you guys have been on those before. And that's when we join with two of the Zulu congregations that are part of Crossways as well. We'll be going and joining them in Tumbleweed. We'll be organizing taxis to go there, so it's going to be a traditional, a real African affair. But we'd love to you to all be part of that, because actually we're more than what we see here. And it's so good to be together with others that are part of Crossways as well. So that's up ahead. Okay, so let's dive into the Old Testament then, and just trying to figure out what did God say in the Old Testament about community. And there's three main things that I'd like to suggest, and we'll go through that together. The first is that community actually begins as God's design. So it's his design that we are in community. The second thing that we see in the Old Testament is that the ideal of community is absolutely broken and messed up by sin. So he started off with this ideal, and then sin happened. And then what we see is that this idea of of community is partially restored as God establishes this covenant people. And there's something that we can learn about this people, Israel, and how they lived, about something of God's heart for community as well. Okay, so let's start off with reading Genesis 2, 18 to 25, and just get this out. And I think from there, we really see this perspective of community being part of God's design. So this is in the Garden of Eden. Then the Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he could call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, I like that, at last, the man exclaimed. I don't think he liked the animals much. At last, the man exclaimed, "This one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. So that was just a beautiful picture of Adam and Eve in the garden. But just that expression that Jesus, that God was speaking there, it's not good for man to be alone. And I think the reality is each of us longs to be known. I mean, I can imagine Adam. I mean, it must have been great to have lots of animals around, but that longing for a real companion and someone to walk with would have been there from the beginning. So God created and created us for shared life as part of his creation design. We really are made for belonging. And what I love just from those verses as well, if we read verse 25, now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. And I think the reality is that because of our brokenness, we all at some point feel shame, right? Whether that's just feeling shameful because of what we've done, but actually it affects our relationships as well, because we don't actually want people to see the muck that's inside of us. So this is a beautiful picture of just a transparent relationship where there's nothing in the way. And that it's good just to remember that that is God's original design, that there's actually nothing in the way of relationship, that it should be something where we're able to be completely transparent with one another. That's how God designed it in the beginning. Okay, moving on, we'll see that community then is broken. And you know, all know the story. Adam and Eve decide to disobey God. They eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as sin entered the world, it fundamentally changed the nature of relationship. It really messed things up. So God designed this open, transparent relationship without shame, but we see what happens immediately after sin enters the world. So let's read that together from Genesis 3. And this is after Adam and Eve have now eaten what they shouldn't have eaten. They've sinned for the first time. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave the fruit, and I ate it." So a few things here that I just want to raise from the scripture. The first is that we see hiding into man's story for the first time. Like this is supposed to be an open relationship with God, and now these sin enters in and there's a hiding that happens. And people move away from the intimacy that God planned for them. We also see that in the last verse, we see man blaming woman. And previously there's been no blame. It's been an open and transparent relationship, and now we suddenly see a fracture in that relationship as well, which is so sad to see. And we, unfortunately, each of us carries this legacy of brokenness and shame with us today, because each of us sin. So like Adam and Eve, our brokenness and shame lead us into hiding. So rather than walking transparently with one another, shame makes it feel safer to hide. Is that right? If you're feeling shameful, we tend to step back from people and relationships. That's what it does. So we cover up and we withdraw rather than being exposed for who we really are. I'm sure all of you, or most of you, especially you young guys as well, you'll post Facebook feeds and WhatsApp updates of all the good stuff, right? Like, I don't know, I think it's our society has shifted so much that everything that we see looks good. And I think for young people, they're seeing everything that looks good in people's lives, but actually there's so much brokenness behind that. And that's never put out there. And it brings a superficiality to community that actually everything is perfect. Everyone is perfect. Nothing's got anything wrong with them. And instead of leaning into relationships, we now get scared. Oh, well, that person's got everything together. That person's got everything together. When the reality is we all are broken. We all are broken. And we need relationship and we need God to help us in that process. What we then see as we go through the Old Testament is that fracture of sin spreads. And just reading from Genesis 4, we see Cain and his brother Abel. And what a mess. From this intimate relationship between Adam and Eve, now we see Cain actually killing his brother. And so this is how it goes. One day Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterwards, the Lord asked Cain, "Where's your brother? Where's Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's guardian?" It's like, how could he ask that last question? "Am I my brother's guardian?" It's like, that's what he's supposed to be. He was supposed to be as brothers. That's one thing you do, is you look out for your brother. And things have just gone so far awry now that brothers who are supposed to look after each other land up, in that case, actually killing one another. And just as I was thinking about that, I was thinking how sad and how broken our world actually is, because sometimes the people that are closest to us are the ones that actually hurt us the most. So sometimes we have carers, not like a brother, but a mother or uncle or someone who actually hurts us more than we could imagine. And because of that hurt, we step back because we've experienced that pain. And for those of you here that have experienced something of that, God would call you to step back out of that darkness and into a place of light and healing. Because unless we actually deal with those hurts, we're going to land up stuck in a place where we actually stay hurt. And God wants to set us free from that. And we can't really step easily into a relationship if we continue to feel that brokenness and even sometimes that unforgiveness that is there because of what's happened in the past. Right, now I want to move on to just seeing how God responds. He doesn't just respond in how he deals with individuals, but God responds by building or creating the foundations of a new covenant community. And we all know about Israel and how God created this people. And it started off with his meeting with a man named Abram. So let's read Genesis 12 together. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. But all families on the earth will be blessed through you." And it's amazing that Abram, that man, was the start of Israel, through whom Jesus came, through whom the whole earth, the whole world has been transformed. So an amazing promise that we have seen fulfilled. So God formed this people, and the idea was that they would be a blessing to the rest of the earth as well. And then that promise that God gave to Abraham then was passed on to Isaac and then to Jacob. And then we see Jacob having 12 sons, right? And that is the start of the 12 tribes of Israel that we then see as the people of Israel that exists still to this day. And the next section I want to skip to is from Exodus 19. And don't worry, I'm not going to go through every book. So Exodus 19:46. This is now as the people have left Egypt. So they got those 12 tribes, you know, those brothers landed up hanging out in Egypt for a while. Then they got enslaved and landed up getting stuck. But God had a call for them to move elsewhere. He then set his people free. And this is what we read in Exodus 19. They've now they've left Egypt and they're in the desert. "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among the peoples of the earth. For all the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel." So you can see here that God was chose this people, and they were meant to represent something to the world around them. They were to be holy, which was set apart, so they were meant to represent something of God's character, right? And then they were also meant to be priests, and what priests do is they bridge the gap between God and people. And I think that's what, so we can learn from what God showed them and how he grew this community, something of God's heart for people. So a little bit of what we see in that early community, which I think we can learn from today, is that there were people from different tribes, but they had one common calling. And in a similar way, we as a church are just so many different people. Every nation, tongue and tribe, we're all called to be part of the church. The people of Israel also had a common purpose, and that was to love God and to reflect God to the world. That's the same as our purpose today. They're also given like a common framework or set of instructions, and that helps them come together as a community. It's not like they're each doing their own thing. God gives them these directions and laws and says, guys, as a community, this is how you should live it out. This is what it looks like. This is how you should, if something goes wrong in your community, how do you sort it out? So he gave those instructions to help that community be formed. So we can learn a lot from how God spoke and directed the people of Israel, because they were part, they were like a shadow of the church that was to come. So I just want us to go to two scriptures, I think about two more to focus now. The first is from Leviticus 19:18, and it just gives us a little bit of a picture of how God intends community and how he intended it way back from the Old Testament times. And so Leviticus 19:18 says this: "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So I think you'll remember that those words, love your neighbor as yourself, we remember those somewhere else, and we'll go there probably next week again. But Jesus spoke those exact words. And so Jesus' idea that we're supposed to love one another, not just as we love ourselves or as our best friends, we're supposed to love one another as ourselves is part of God's design for community. Can you see that? Love your neighbor as yourself. He wants us to love one another as ourselves, which is looking much beyond just ourselves and even just our families, but how do we love each other well? And we really will be leaning into that in this month ahead. And then if we go to Deuteronomy 15:7-11, it starts talking about a little bit about God's heart for people in community that are poor. "But if there are any poor Israelites in your towns when you arrive in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Instead, be generous and tend and lend them whatever they need. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan, because the year for canceling debts is close at hand. If you refuse to make the loan and the needy person cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin. Give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything that you do. There will always be some in the land who are poor. That is why I am commanding you to share freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need." So I think what we really see is that provision for the poor is also embedded in community. And I think in every community there are poor people. We know even in our community there's some of us that are wealthy, that have more than we need, but there are others that have less. And so God calls us to not just look after ourselves, but to see how we can support and love one another as well. All right, I want to shift on to the next theme I'd like to pull out, and that's the joy of friendship. I don't know, for me, having friends has been probably one of the biggest joys of my life. I don't know about you guys, if you look back, if you've had a good friend, it is such a good thing. Hey, if you've had a good friend, it's such a good thing. And there's some amazing scriptures that we read, especially from Proverbs. And the guy who wrote Proverbs was renowned as the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon. So I think what he has to say should be able to be something that we can take and listen to. So these are some of the words on friendship that Solomon had to share in Proverbs. So the first one comes from Proverbs 27:9. He said, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad. So does the sweetness of a friend's counsel that comes from the heart." And that is just so beautiful, you know, and I can certainly attest to that when I've needed some help and encouragement, going to a friend who loves me and who speaks to me, it can really be such a blessing. But again, that speaks to being willing and open to step into those friendships and being allowing friends to encourage you and to counsel you. Then Proverbs 27, verse 17, I think the guys like this one more. Instead of talking about perfume, they're not talking about a sword. So as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And what I love about that is it's talking not just about letting us be. I think as men especially, we really need other men. It's not just men, but we really need men to encourage us in our journey of life. We're not meant to be men that stand alone. This idea of men stand alone and independent, and that's what it's meant to be, is not God's design. God's design is for men to stand together. You know, that's what it's meant to be. So I would encourage you, if you're feeling alone, that is not part of God's call. God's call is for you to be in community with other men, and women to be in community with other women, and let a community come and be around you and sharpen you and help you to do better, to live better. That's how God's designed us to live. And then if we go on to the next scripture from Ecclesiastes, this is also a lovely one. I'm sure those of you that have been married or are thinking about marriage, you'll probably know this verse. It says, "Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed." That's true. "If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." So that really just speaks about the value and the beauty of friendship, doesn't it? So the idea is that if we stumble and fall, which we all do, at some point we're all going to go through a tough time. What a friend can do is to help you up. We need that. Solomon was talking about being cold and lying next to each other to keep each other warm. I don't think that's the kind of thing that we do much nowadays. But I think we do need people to come close to us, right? And to help us when we're feeling alone and we're feeling essentially cold in our hearts. So, and that can happen through walking with one another and encouraging one another and praying for one another. And then also in defense, when we're in trouble or feeling under attack, we can have someone who stands with us. And I mean, that's an amazing thing. And then also just to finish us off talking about three are even better, and this idea of a triple braided cord not being easily broken. And just a little bit of a testimony from my varsity days. Some of you youngsters are here as well. So when I finished school, I did a gap year. And that gap year, I went around the country trying to sing, not very well, mostly being a clown and doing other things. A real clown, helping out kids, and I don't have the best sense of humor. But we did that for a year, and when I finished with that, I really felt that God wanted me, when I went to varsity, to actually live for Him, not just to get caught up in the chaos of varsity. So I was praying about that, and in the first, we then joined varsity, and as Ella and them know, then there's this orientation thing, right? You think, okay, that'll be teaching you where the library is and where the different buildings are. It was like chaos. It was like everyone getting drunk and having the biggest party they possibly could. And it was really tough like entering into that space, coming from a year where I had been pretty much surrounded by a group of Christian friends. But God was so good. In that first week, I met up with two people who have become lifelong friends, a guy, Ryan, and a lady, Kath. And the three of us, we went through Varsity for 4 years together. We went to young adults group together. We did lectures together, and it was absolutely amazing. I initially went in with some conviction, but through that friendship and standing with others, I didn't even have a taste of a beer at Varsity. And, you know, that seems odd. Like, why would you not do that? But for me, I wanted to be able to make a decision and then not keep fighting that. So for me, it was actually helpful to say, I'm not doing it, and then have friends I could do something else with. But I wouldn't have been able to do that alone. I would have felt isolated, and I would have felt drawn into trying to just get some company with others if I didn't have those friends. So I would say, especially for you young guys, as you transition maybe from being at home as well into the world, find people that you can really stand with. It helps you to stand for Jesus. Doing it alone is very tough. So that really did help me. So, yeah, a triple branded cord is not easily broken. That certainly was good for me. Okay, and then the last sort of focus I want to bring out from the Old Testament, second last, sorry, is this idea of wise counsel. And as you read through Proverbs, I'm sure some of you guys have. If you haven't, I would really encourage you to read Proverbs. It's a book of wisdom. So if you want to know something about being wise, there are so many wise things in Proverbs. And this is what Proverbs has to say about seeking wise counsel. Proverbs 12:15, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. So again, listen to others, so not just by yourself. Proverbs 12:26, the godly give good advice to their friends, the wicked lead them astray. So again, who are we spending time with? If it's godly people, they will help us and give us good advice. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. So let's not associate with fools, let's walk with the wise. Then Proverbs 15:22, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. So that's good, just practical advice. If you've got a big decision to make, don't make it alone. There's no reason why you have to make it alone. Speak with others, get advice from others. And Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel, receive instruction, accept correction, that you may be wise in time to come. And all of those things, they don't talk about being independent. They talk about leaning into a relationship, don't they? Right? Leaning into a relationship to get the advice and the love and the friendship that we need. Okay, so that's pretty much some of the key things that I can pull out of the Old Testament about community and the value of community. But then what we see is God, we see then God starting to prepare and talk about this new, better way, this new covenant that was going to be coming. And we read about that in Jeremiah 31, 33 to 34. And this is the last verse we're going to read together today. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And so there was just a promise that there was a new covenant that was coming, that there was a new kind of community that God was going to create, and that is the church. And Jesus established that when he came to earth. And so we're going to be leaning into that next week. Had a bit of a, hopefully you've had some, there's been some useful points from today, but we'll be leaning into Jesus' teaching and what he said about community next week. All right, so what I really want to encourage each of you though is to, if there's anyone here who has been invited to be part of this community practice and you're umming and ahhing, please take up the challenge to do that. I really would encourage you to do that. We're hoping that as a church, we really are a body of people who love one another. And that's God's desire for us, to not be independent, but to really be loved and to be mentored and to grow. And we do that in community. We don't do that independently. All right, so I'm just going to end off in prayer. I just want to pray for our time together in those groups. And if there's anyone here who, again, who hasn't got an invite, and you're going to be around in the next few weeks, please speak to Pam or speak to one of us. We would love you to be connected as well. All right. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, just thank you so much for this beautiful picture of community that you painted in the Garden of Eden. It was one of openness, transparency, and no shame between people. But Lord, we know that we are so far from that now. Each of us has sinned, people have sinned against us, and it can cause us to step back from community. It can cause us to step back from relationship. But Lord Jesus, you call us back. You call us back into relationship. You offer us friendship with one another, and by your Spirit, you can transform us to be more like Jesus. So I just want to pray for these 4 weeks that are ahead. I want to pray for each home where people are going to gather and meet. Lord, I just pray that you would use it just to grow us closer in community and closer to you. So we commit this week to you and the weeks ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.